I wanted to say a few things about the subject of hearing the voice of the shepherd. Last Sunday, we finished up that discussion of Christ's commandment to His people, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." And we talked extensively about this metaphor of the sheep, the little flock, and the shepherd, and how all of our hope, all of our safety, all of our peace, and all the joys we look forward to are all entirely upon the shoulders of the shepherd, and none in ourselves. For we're simple and weak and helpless and foolish, and the Lord Jesus has endeavored to bring all of His sheep, all of His people that have been given to Him, unto everlasting life, and to provide for us all the things that we need, and to see us safe unto glory. And so this metaphor of the sheep and the little flock and the shepherd all throughout the Scriptures. And my thoughts on this particular question about the voice of the shepherd were prompted by a little page that Brother Witten sent to me over the week. I'll read part of it about the sheep and the shepherd metaphor in Scripture. "The sheep require constant care as they have little ability to defend themselves or stay away from dangerous situations. The shepherd, who had to be strong, resourceful, and cunning, brought the flock to water, kept it together while the flock was grazing, and protected it from constant threat of predators. At night, the shepherd led his flock to a protected pen or fold. A good shepherd cared greatly for his sheep and came to know each one. For their part, the sheep would know and respond to the voice of their shepherd alone. The relationship between shepherd and flock was so tight that it became a metaphor for the relationship of God to His people." Now, this subject of the sheep coming to hear, to know the voice of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus made reference to that fact when He described how His sheep hear His voice and follow Him. We know the verse as well in John chapter 10. At verse 2, for example, Christ says, "He that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Then at verse 16, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And finally at verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So Christ makes use of this metaphor of the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd and following after the shepherd whose voice they hear and whose voice they know. When we look more closely at this metaphor that Christ uses, we come to understand what Jesus means more perfectly by His claim that His sheep hear His voice. Because technically, all the sheep everywhere can hear anyone that says something to them, can't they? What Christ is saying here is more than just that they take note of the fact that there is a person speaking to them. What does it say in verse 5? "A stranger will they not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So you see, that verse proves that the sheep hear the voices of strangers, don't they? If they didn't hear them, they wouldn't flee from them. So they hear all the voices. The question is, they do distinguish between the voice of their shepherd and the voice of every other person. We come to understand that to hear the voice of the shepherd as Christ makes use of it is, number one, to be familiar with it, to be able to distinguish it between all other voices. And number two, though, to trust in the voice of the shepherd. Not to ignore it, but to be disposed towards it and to be interested in hearing it and in listening to what it says. And thirdly, to hear the voice of the shepherd includes, under Christ's teaching, the following of the voice, the following of the shepherd at the sound of his voice. This is what it means to hear the voice of the shepherd. It doesn't mean that the sheep can't hear every other voice. They just don't pay attention to it, or they flee from it because they are not familiar with it and they don't trust it. And that's the image that the Lord Jesus uses. And that explains why it is that so many do not hear the Savior's voice. Why? Because He is a stranger to them. They are not familiar with His voice. They do not trust His voice. And they will not follow His voice. They don't understand the words that Jesus spoke. They do not believe the words that Jesus spoke. They do not trust in the words of the Lord Jesus. And they do not follow after the Lord Jesus, but they flee from Him. Jesus describes this manner of activity among the sheep. His sheep flee from all other voices but the Lord Jesus. And those that are not His sheep flee from the voice of the Lord Jesus because He is a stranger to them. Now, why would Jesus be a stranger to the lost sheep? And what does the Lord Jesus teach about this particular thing? In Matthew 13, we read this morning where He tells parables to the crowds, and most of the people don't understand them. And you see, that is also a metaphor that Christ is developing of the fact that He can say things to people that they don't understand. That if they're not His people, they won't understand it because they're not His sheep. And He says at Matthew 13, at verse 10, the disciples come and said unto Him, "Why speakest thou to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even what he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." So you see, there was a prophecy to be fulfilled by Christ that He should teach the Lord's ways to the people, and that in the very process of hearing, they would not hear, and they would not understand. You see, they're like the sheep that aren't the shepherds. They hear this voice braying, don't they? But it doesn't mean anything, because of course sheep don't understand English or Hebrew or Greek or whatever language the shepherd speaks. And so they hear a voice, but it means nothing to them. In fact, it drives them away. And that's what Isaiah said would happen. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them." This is the condition of lost man. They can hear what's being said, but in the process of hearing, they don't hear. And they don't understand. And they don't believe. And then in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, at verse 37, He draws out the more malignant explanation of why the lost don't hear the Savior. "I know you're Abraham's seed," the Lord Jesus tells His skeptical audience, "but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." My word hath no place in you. You see, the sheep that are Christ's sheep, they hear the shepherd's voice. And whatever it is He says to them, they find attractive. They take it to heart and they follow Him, don't they? But these are people whose words are not in them. They have no place in them. They've excluded them. "I speak what I've seen from my father. Ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto Him, "Abraham's our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? So you see, Christ is repeating in the negative frame that what he said positively in John 10, that you can't trust, you can't believe, you can't understand what the shepherd says, because you can't hear his voice. You can't hear his word. You cannot hear my word. Why? Because you're of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So here's the answer for why the people don't hear the Lord Jesus' word. Because they're not of God, they're of the devil. The very fact that Jesus tells them the truth is the very reason why they can't believe it. They're built in to reject the words of Christ. It's built into them. They must reject what he says. Isn't this sort of consistent with what he said about the sheep? They don't hear the voice of the stranger. They flee the voice of the stranger. And so it is. So it is with the lost, that they cannot hear the words of Christ. The very fact that he tells them the truth is the very reason why they must reject that truth. Their ears are stopped. They're not children of God, children of the devil. And Jesus' words are God's words. They're God's words. That's what he says there. That whatever he says is what the Father has given him to say. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The Lord Jesus pointed out in other passages why people don't hear his voice. He points it out in our passage this morning in John 10 at verse 23. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. See, this raises the interesting character of the sheep that are not Christ, demanding that he tell them some truth. And he says, I already did, but you didn't hear me and you didn't believe me. And the reason is because you're not my sheep. A shepherd can go to a sheep that aren't his, and he can declaim all he wants about leading them to green pastures and still waters, and restoring their souls, and helping them to be contented and to lie down in safety and none make them afraid. And they can hear all that talk, but they can't understand it. They can't really hear it. They can't trust it. They can't believe it. Why? Because they're not his sheep. Only his sheep can hear the words that the shepherd utters of comfort and of leadership and of care. Only the sheep who are the shepherds can hear his voice. There's almost a built-in feature here that the Lord is trying to display to us, that those who are lost cannot hear the truth of God. Those who are not the Lord's cannot hear it. It's built in, just like sheep can't hear the words of one who is not their shepherd. You cannot hear it because you're not my sheep. So the Lord's people, the Lord's sheep, hear his voice, and they believe, and they trust, and they follow. And all the others refuse to hear it. They can't hear it. It's like just so much babble to them. It's completely nonsense. And you notice, you see this in your own witness, and then we see it in the world, that no matter how articulate and plain and clear you can explain the gospel to people, it's like you're talking to a dumb sheep, isn't it? They just look at you and go, bah, and walk away. Why? Because you're not related to their shepherd. They're not related to your shepherd. They can't hear. They can't understand. Now, this raises an interesting question. How do the Lord's sheep come to hear His voice? Now, we see a difference here between the metaphor and the Lord Jesus' people. Because in this world, you see, the sheep don't hear the voice of their shepherd when they first meet him, do they? Why, when the shepherd's first introduced to his sheep, or when the sheep are first given to the shepherd, he shows up, he calls out to them, and they ignore him, or they run away. That's what Jesus says, doesn't he? Well, how do the sheep learn to hear the voice of their shepherd and to reject the voice of all others? They start out by rejecting the voice of their shepherd until he trains them, until he has them in his custody for some period of time, and they learn through experience to trust his voice. And they come to associate his voice with contentment and with grass and with water and with safety. And by and by, you see, they come to hear the voice of their shepherd and to trust him. And I suppose that up until the point that happens, he has to use a lot of the rod and the staff and the sheepdogs to try to keep the sheep in line, because they're not hearing his voice yet. They don't know that he's their shepherd because they're foolish beasts. How do you get into the mind of the sheep in order to get them to understand who their shepherd is and that they should hear his voice? In this world, it's a matter of slow learning. It's a matter of experience. It's a matter of convincing the sheep of this fact that they ought to listen to, that it would be in their best judgment or best interests to listen to the voice of the one who's been appointed their shepherd. But as he takes them, they come to be familiar with his voice, and they learn to trust the voice of the shepherd. And what they once feared, now they trust and follow. And we might be tempted to think that so it is with us. And at first we feared the voice of the Lord Jesus, but the longer we heard it, the better it sounded. And slowly but surely, through experience and observation, we came to trust the voice of the shepherd. And that's the Arminian application of the sheep and the shepherd metaphor. Because that's not the way we hear the voice of the shepherd at all. The metaphor, in a large sense, breaks down. We would never have come to trust the shepherd through our own experience and through hearing his voice. We would never have done that. Why? Well, look at Jesus' ministry. He worked all those miracles. He taught all those people. They heard his voice lots of times, didn't they? And yet, most of them rejected him, didn't they? Well, if it was just a matter, like it is with simple sheep in the real world, of just hearing the voice of the shepherd, becoming accustomed to it, gaining experience with it, and then naturally becoming attuned to hearing and obeying the voice of the shepherd, well, then there would be universal salvation, wouldn't they? Because before long, we could make sure that everybody's heard what Jesus has to say, and if they don't believe it the first time, we can tell them again and again and again. And under this theory, since his voice is good and his promises are good and they're a benefit to people, why, who wouldn't listen? And so, you see, we're missing the point that Jesus says there's something built in about the loss, that they won't hear his voice. They can't hear it. The very fact he says it to them is the very reason they won't listen to him. And they won't believe it. I think in some place he said that if someone else had come saying these things, you'd have listened to him. You won't listen to the Son of God when he comes to say these things. Why? Because of the rebellion, because of their ears being deliberately stopped up and their eyes being tight squeezed closed so that they won't hear and they won't see and they won't be saved. And so while the goodness of the shepherd can convince lowly lambs in this world to hear and to follow, why, the goodness of God, it'll never convince a lost sinner to hear the voice of Jesus and to trust in Him. How can we know that? Why, because God's been being good to the world since He created it for 6,000 years, and yet most of the people have turned against God, haven't they? All this time, all this practice, all this good that God has done for His creatures, all the common grace, as they say, He causes the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. So the Lord displays His goodness to all His creation, and yet the sheep that are not Christ, they won't believe and they won't hear the voice and they won't follow the shepherd. After 6 millennia, we still rebel and we refuse to hear. And I thought of that text that expresses a similar expression in Isaiah, the 1st chapter at verse 3. The ox knoweth his master, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. A sinful nation, Israel is the test case. Will the sheep follow the shepherd because the shepherd does good for the sheep? And the sheep just naturally learn through experience to obey the voice of the shepherd, to hear His voice, to follow after Him? No, that's not the way it works at all, is it? No, God has to make us hear His voice and trust in Him. This is the clear teaching of Scripture. I wonder if you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this remarkable statement about the work of the Holy Ghost, right at the very beginning of the discussion of spiritual gifts. And as you remember, the purpose of this verse is to set the stage. You think all these spiritual gifts are important things. Never forget the biggest miracle that the Spirit worked in you. It's not to speak in tongues. It's not to heal the sick. It's not to be gracious and interested in helping people. It's not to preach the gospel. None of that. None of those are the biggest miracle of the Holy Ghost working in you. What's the biggest miracle? Why, if you're a believer, here's what Paul says. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So there you have it. The only way the sheep hear and trust and follow the shepherd, in other words, declare that Jesus is Lord. He's the King, He's the ruler, He's the rightful person to tell us what to do and how to do. And He's also the Prince who has been assigned the job of defending and protecting His people. The only way that a sheep can hear the voice of the shepherd is through the work of the Holy Ghost. Unlike normal sheep, you see, the Holy Ghost is the one that causes the sheep assigned to Christ unto salvation to hear His voice and to trust in His voice and to obey His voice. Look at what Jesus says from a positive point of view in Matthew 13 after He talks about all the people whose ears are stopped up and who won't hear. What does He say to His people? But blessed are your ears, for they hear. He's not complimenting them on having better ears than other people. He's not complimenting them on listening harder or paying more attention. No, He's pointing out to them they've been blessed. They've been given this gift from God that they're able to hear when all the rest are not. It's God's working in the disciples and in the Lord's people that calls them to hear the sound and the voice of the shepherd, and to trust it and to follow after it. Not our own work. It's a work of grace. We hear His voice because we have been given to Him as His sheep. It's not a natural thing, but rather a supernatural thing. We're not obedient to Christ because of some natural growth of a natural tendency in us to follow the voice of one to whom we become accustomed and who's shown us good things. If that were the case, you see, we might have, as Paul would put it, somewhat in which to glory. We are really better sheep than all the rest, you see, because we heard the voice of Jesus and we were intelligent enough to pick up on the goodness of Christ and the promise of Christ and the glory of Christ. And so we decided we would listen to His voice and obey Him and trust in Him. So you see, that shifts some of the glory onto the sheep, doesn't it? The truth of the matter is that sheep in this world are more intelligent in learning to follow their shepherd than the sheep in spiritual matters are. While a natural process in the sheep of this world will cause them to follow after a good shepherd, sooner or later, to hear His voice. Spiritually, mankind is dumber than sheep, worse off than sheep, more condemned than sheep, because we will never follow the voice of the good shepherd until the Holy Ghost causes us to follow, opens our ears, raises us from the dead, makes us to hear His voice, to follow after Him. And if we fall into the trap of thinking that this is just some natural process that certain sheep go through because they're a little bit better than the rest of the sheep, then you see we've latched on to that old Arminian heresy and we've shifted some of the glory of the salvation of the Lord's sheep away from Him and unto the sheep. We're not such clever sheep as to latch on to the good shepherd when actually a supernatural change was imposed upon us to hear His voice and to follow Him. Because He took us as His sheep and conformed us to hear His voice. So the Lord's sheep are specially blessed. We've been given to Him to save, and He has made us, conformed us through the Holy Spirit's working to that of obedient sheep who hear His voice and trust it and follow Him. And it is true that God the Father commands the Lord's people, what? At the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." It's a command that spiritual sheep can never obey on their own. They're dumber than the sheep of this world. But praise God, He can change the hearts and minds and ears of the sheep that calls us to hear the voice of the shepherd, to trust it, and to follow hard after it. Remember Isaac Watts' cry, "Why was I made to hear His voice and enter while there's room when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused a taste and perished in our sin." And as we gather around this Lord's table, remember, that we're not here because we heard of the goodness of God and we thought to ourselves, "You know, I think that's pretty good. Let me listen to a little bit more." And we heard more of it, and slowly but surely we decided that we'd hear the voice of the shepherd and trust in Him and follow after Him. No, the reason we're here is because God gave us to Christ as His sheep and caused us to hear His voice and to be obedient to Him. And that's the reason we're here now. It's a miracle of the Holy Ghost that we are in this room, gathered around this table. Because if we'd been left ourselves, we'd have been dumber than sheep. We'd have never followed after Christ. But praise God, the Lord has saved us and changed us and made us delight to do His will. I'd like to ask my Father if we'd give thanks for the bread that pictures the body of Christ broken for us. The Scriptures tell us on the night our Lord was betrayed that He took the bread and He blessed it and He broke it. And He said, "Take and eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's give thanks for the cup that pictures the blood of the Lord Jesus shed to make atonement for our sin. O God, our Father, we rejoice in Your goodness to us. For not only did You provide an offering for sin, but You brought Your people to repentance and faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Something we would never have done of ourselves. The fact You said it, the fact He offered it, was good enough reason for us not to hear it. But Your Spirit worked to raise up dead hearts and dead souls and spirits to be able to hear and to comprehend and to rejoice and to trust and to follow. And Lord, we pray You would work in our hearts to follow even more and to hear even more and to trust even more. We can't generate that of our own, but we ask You to increase our faith. We believe, help our unbelief, and we thank You for this cup that He left us to remind us of the blood that He shed. Take away our sin. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scriptures tell us after they had supped that He took the cup and He blessed it, and He said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in My blood for the remission of sin. Do it as often as ye do it in remembrance of Me." And the Scriptures tell us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do preach the Lord's death until He comes. Let's stand and sing number 124 in the Black Book, "The Holy One Who Knew No Sin, God Made Him Sin for Us," 124.